The Word, Morning Reflection, and today we are back in Luke chapter 4. So if you have a Bible, I'd like to invite you to take it, and let's look together at verses 13 through 21. Again, that's Luke chapter 4, verses 13 through 21. Here's what the Bible says. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out the fame of him through all the regions round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found in the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He closed the book, he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. What we see in this passage is a lot of information about the nature of the Messiah's ministry. And so I'll give you this summary statement. The following passage describes the first time in Christ's ministry where he revealed his true identity and the nature of his messianic ministry. What's interesting is that this is talking about when he comes to Nazareth and he sits down in the synagogue. And so the custom on the Sabbath day was that people would be gathered together in the synagogue, and certain men in the community would stand up and they would sit in a seat called Moses' seat, and they would open the scroll and they'd read the scriptures to the people who were there in the synagogue. After that, they would make remarks about the text that they were reading, very similar to what we do on Sunday mornings where we have scripture reading, and then the pastor gets up and he expounds the text of scripture, he preaches the text. Well, basically, that's what the Lord Jesus is doing in this passage. And when he does it, he's given the scroll to the prophet Isaiah, and rather than just reading from any random passage, he goes to a very specific place. And so with that in mind, let's look at a couple of facts, truths, that talk about the nature of Christ's ministry and why this was so very important for them then and why it's so very important for us today. The first truth that we're going to see in this text is that Christ's ministry was a ministry that was empowered by the Holy Spirit. In verses 13 and 14 it says, When the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned, and here's the phrase that's so important, in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. This reminds us of what was stated in Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22 at Jesus' baptism. It says, When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus was also baptized. In praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came down from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I'm well pleased. So we see that Christ's ministry begins with the Holy Spirit coming upon him, and God the Father basically saying, This is my Son. He is speaking on behalf of the Messiah, saying, This is the Messiah. You need to listen to him. So it wasn't just that John the Baptist said, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But God the Father also validates his ministry, and the Holy Spirit comes upon him as a dove. We see in Luke 4:1 that Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted 40 days of the devil. The Holy Spirit came upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and he did his work as the Messiah in the power of the Holy Spirit. This reminds us of what Isaiah prophesied in chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. He says, There will come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. We need to remember that Christ was not just God, but also God in flesh. So Christ has a dual nature. He's fully God and fully man. And when Christ came and entered into the creation, the Bible tells us that he humbled himself and he laid aside his glories. He veiled his glories. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ had to actually learn and he had to actually grow in stature and in favor with God and man. And so he willingly limited himself. And so as he's walking around doing his ministry as a limited individual, he's doing it by the power of the Holy Spirit. We also see that this is why we use the term Messiah or Christ when we refer to Jesus of Nazareth, because the word literally means the anointed one. So then we come to a second truth that's very interesting here. Christ announced his ministry by connecting what he was doing to the Messiah's to messianic prophecies that we find in the book of Isaiah. Now, I've already kind of talked about this, but I want to mention it directly from the text here. In verses 15 through 18, and then in verse 21, this is what Luke records. He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, notice the phrase, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And then at the end of this section, he says, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. That tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ knew exactly who he was. And at that very moment, he was going to reveal to the people he grew up with, the people that watched him actually grow up in Nazareth, he's going to reveal to them that, in fact, he is the Messiah. He is the fulfillment of that text. And the Holy Spirit has come upon him, and he's anointed him to do the work that God called the Messiah to do. The third fact that I'd like us to look at, or the third truth that we're going to look at, is referring to Christ's ministry, the nature of the work that he would do. And that is that Christ's ministry was entirely rooted in the preaching of the gospel. And this is really where we want to focus in this morning, on the fact that we desperately need the Messiah's work today. What's going to be laid out for us in verses 19 and 20, the nature of the work that the Messiah would do, is exactly what the people needed in that day, 2,000 years ago, and it's exactly what we need today in our lives and in our communities. In verses 19 and 20, he says, he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, I want to break down this statement in two parts. The first is asking the question, what exactly did Christ come to do? Well, the answer is in two statements that are made in this text. The first is that he came to preach the gospel. Later on, it says he came to preach deliverance to the captives. Now, that word preach has the idea of to evangelize, euangelizomai. The idea is that he's going to go and he's going to preach the good news, preach the gospel. He's proclaiming that God has set redemption for his people. In fact, that statement goes all the way back to the statements that were made about Christ back in Luke chapter 1 and in Luke chapter 2. Think about the words of Zechariah, where he talks about how his child, John the Baptist, is going to prepare the way for the Messiah, the Lord. Think about the words of Simeon and Anna as they held that baby, the Lord Jesus Christ, there in the temple. He says, Lord, now I've seen your salvation. He talks about remission of sins through the work of the Messiah. The fact is, all these statements have been made about Jesus, and he came to preach, to proclaim, to herald the gospel. And the point of preaching the gospel is that we would respond to the gospel by embracing the gospel, by trusting in the gospel. And so that's what Jesus came to do. He came to preach the gospel and then ultimately to fulfill the promises of the Old Testament, so that the gospel would be able to actually save people. It was by him going to the cross and dying for our sins and rising from the dead that we can have forgiveness of sins through his work on our behalf. So the first part of these statements is connected to him preaching the good news of salvation. good news of the gospel. The second question is, well, why was the good news so important? What actually did it accomplish? And he lists several different things that I want us to notice because they're so very important and they're so very precious. The first is it was good news to the poor. Now, when he talks about the poor, he's talking about the poor in really two senses. In one sense, he's talking about those who are physically poor, people who are downcast and trodden, people who had no power in the ancient world. If you were poor, you were in a very tough position back in those days, and today too. If a person is physically, financially poor, they're in trouble. And the fact is that Jesus came and preached the gospel to those who were in that very lowly position, who had no hope in this physical world. He came to preach repentance and faith for the remission of sins, so that those who are living in poverty in this world could turn to him and actually live an existence that was meaningful because it had eternal significance. He's also talking about those who are poor in the spiritual sense. Think about what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven." He's talking about people who recognize that they are spiritually and morally bankrupt, have absolutely no righteousness that they can present to God. And so they realize that their only hope of standing before God is through the work of another on their behalf. It's through the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and the righteousness of Christ. He came to preach the good news to the poor. The second thing that is mentioned here is that it was to bring healing to the brokenhearted. Folks, let's remember that sin is something that destroys people internally. We talk about people having issues of mental health. I want you to realize that sin destroys people's hearts. The reason that our nation is in such a terrible state today, why there is so much animosity, there is so much anxiety, there is so much hatred, there is so much fear, there is so much trouble, the reason that we have literally an epidemic of brokenness in people's minds and hearts is because we live in a sinful world. And the only way that people can truly have a sound and settled mind is through the power of the gospel. It's through the preaching of Christ, where sin is forgiven and cleansing and we are restored to God. And we're in a position where we are empowered by a new nature in Christ to actually walk in newness of life and to have a sound mind and to relate to people in a way that honors and pleases God. And so he came not only to preach to the poor, but he came to preach to the brokenhearted. It was also that it would deliver those who were captives. And he's preaching to people who are basically dominated by Roman authoritarianism. But he's talking about more than that, because the fact is, in Christ's ministry, he didn't deliver the people from the Romans. He delivered people from the captivity of their own broken, sinful hearts. Sin captures our hearts. It dominates us like a cruel taskmaster. And the gospel is the only remedy for that terrible, terrible, cruel captivity that we have to our fallen natures. We also see that he came to give sight to the blind. And we see examples of Christ actually healing people who were physically blind. But it was more than that. In fact, it's so interesting. In John chapter 9, where it talks about Jesus healing a blind man, at the end of that section, we see that the reason that Jesus healed this blind man wasn't just to restore his physical sight, but it was to use him as an example of the fact that people who were born physically blind and have been healed physically by Christ have now the ability to see who Jesus is. And people who have physical sight, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin, had no spiritual ability to understand and discern who Christ was. And so he actually came not just to restore physical sight, but spiritually to take those who are blinded by sin, blinded to the realities of life in the world, blinded to their own spiritual condition, blinded to who God is. He came to restore sight to those who are walking in darkness. We also see that he came to give liberty to those who are bruised. And that word bruised literally means people who've been crushed by life. You know, I can't help but listen to people talk today, and I realize there are many people who are crushed under the weight of life. And think about what Jesus says in Matthew. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, crushed under life, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke on you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And the fact is that Christ came to strengthen those who are being crushed by life, to lift that burden and to bear that burden with them. And the last thing that's mentioned in this text is that it was a message of God's grace. He talks about proclaiming the year of the acceptable year of the Lord. And that phrase has the idea of a year of God's favor, a year of God proclaiming his grace, undeserved, unmerited favor. I want you to realize that all of those blessings, the preaching of good news to the poor and healing the brokenhearted and delivering the captives and giving sight to the blind and giving liberty to those that are crushed and proclaiming the message of God's grace, it's all part of Christ's messianic ministry. And I want you to realize that just like those people needed that message and they needed that from God, that's what we need today as well. I want to be very practical this morning. I want you to realize if there was ever a time that this nation and individuals within this nation needed this messianic ministry, it's today. We need the gospel. We need there to be a restoration of the gospel being proclaimed all over our nation. We need churches that will actually be salt and light in this very dark time. We don't need to pull away from society and become disgruntled and angry and frustrated. We need to stand fast in the strength that Christ gives. We need to glory in the gospel that he proclaims. We need to cherish the position that we have in Christ. We need to live in a way that draws people to the truth so that they can behold the hope that lies within us. And that hope is the gospel that brings forgiveness and cleansing and a settled mind. We need to recognize that the gospel that he preached and the work that he accomplished is the key that will bring healing to individuals and to this nation. And so I want to challenge you this morning as we think about the Messiah's ministry. That ministry was not just for Jews in the first century. That's a ministry for you and for me today. And I hope that today that will encourage you and strengthen you as you go about the rest of your week. I hope that you have a great rest of your week, a wonderful weekend. Hope to see many of you in church on Sunday. Let's bow together for prayer and thank God for this time we could spend in Luke 4. Father, thank you for the opportunity to reflect on the very important details of Christ's ministry. Father, we thank you that he came to accomplish these things for us. Help us to walk in a way that's consistent with our position in Christ. Help us to have a mind that is settled and rooted in what we have in Jesus. Help us to live in the light of these wonderful truths. And I pray that you would use us to bless and encourage and strengthen the people around us. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I hope that you have a great rest of your day and a great weekend. And Lord willing, we'll continue with our study next week. Bye now.